You know, 5 weeks ago, was when our world kind of got turned upside down. We were in there having that meeting, and everybody's phone started going off because things were changing. And within the next 30-some-odd hours, all major sporting events were shut down and started working on businesses and stuff like that, and it's really changed. General atmosphere right now is, I don't know that there's no details about it, but the general atmosphere is there are a lot of people wanting to return to the normal, what they call normal, May the 1st. That's 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks from now. I think you lost her. I don't live in fear, but there are things that make me afraid, and there are things that scare me, and that's different than fear. Fear comes from Satan, but there are events that I watch that really scare me. And one of the things about this wanting to move back in is that really scares me. I mean, I've seen this thing kind of like a hurricane. Tommy knows more about this than I do because he's lived down there with them. But, you know, hurricanes come in and their front wall is bad. The front side of a hurricane is bad. It's got a lot of rain and wind and things like that. And then you'll go through the eye of the storm and it's peaceful. And then the back side of the storm hits. And they say the winds off the back side of that storm are worse than the ones off the front side. Is that true? Yeah. And that's what I feel like we're about to do. We're about to move out into something during the eye of the storm, and then it's going to come back around again and be worse than we can. So I want to offer something up to you, give it to you, submit it to you as something that the Lord spoke to me this weekend, and then y'all can test it and see if it applies to you. And it's simply the standpoint, the government can restrict you. Whatever the president, the governor, the mayor, whatever says, can restrict your activity because we are submitted to authority. The Lord Jesus Christ and Paul both called us to submit to the authority of the government. So when the government says, don't do this, we don't do it. And so they can limit your activity. But they can't release you. They can give you the privilege to do something, but just because that privilege is there doesn't mean necessarily that you can, because you're governed by the Holy Spirit. You remember that when Jesus was with Pontius Pilate referred to him as a king, and he said, yeah, you're right to call me a king, but you must understand my kingdom is not of this world. So righteously, as sons of God, we are going to be governed by the authorities that are over us. But when we talk about something, about them giving us privilege to do something, for example, the laws say right now you can kill your babies. You can have an abortion. I don't know what we'll do. It might not be right for us. The law says gay marriage is a standard. That's something that you have the freedom to do. Not sure that works for us. By law, you can sue anybody you want to for whatever reason you want to. It doesn't even have to be true. You can just make it up and go file a lawsuit, and the courts will hear it, and they'll determine whether or not there's enough evidence for what you want to do. But it doesn't have to be a real offense. But that doesn't apply to us. In fact, I mean, we talk lots of times about how we treat our brother, but even the scriptures say, if your enemy is taking you to court, you need to settle it before he gets you to court. So, we don't even participate in the court system. So my point is this, there are things that the government will give you the privilege to do that because you're a son of God, you may not do. And what the Lord, what I heard from the Lord this weekend was the government cannot give you, cannot release you to go out. It must come from the Holy Spirit. That we as the children of God may be restrained longer than the world, but it'll be for our benefit. So what my encouragement to you to do is this. Whether it's state of Texas or Lubbock or whoever, they can't even agree on that, on who's got the authority, but whenever they start releasing you, my encouragement to you, the very first thing you do is start praying and ask the Holy Spirit if it's safe to go, if it's free to go out. And then, if the Holy Spirit does say it's free to go out, as you engage in different activities, test it, every one of them. Is it okay for me to go do this? Is it okay for me to go do this? Because there's one of the things I believe that the Lord, and I'm convinced, first off, this coronavirus is governed by the hand of God. Either he's sovereign or not. If he's sovereign, he's governing this coronavirus. And so he allowed this to happen to show us something. I really think he is giving us an opportunity to redefine our priorities on what's important to us. He's going to change how we see the world and the world around us and the activities that we engage in. He's slowing things down, settling things down, teaching us how to be at peace and content at home. He's teaching us that. He's teaching us to lay down some of the busyness of our life, all the activities our kids were in, all the activities that we were in. He's going to slow down some of that just to be with him. But he's also going to tear down some idols and some false gods that we've had. Many of you have heard me say this. It's easy for you to identify something as a false god, something that lords over you, if you evaluate it by what do you spend your time thinking about, what do you spend your time doing, and what do you spend your money on? Now, if you'll answer those questions, they will define for you those things that may be potential false idols in your life. But I go a little bit farther now. We've been reading through the Old Testament, through Kings and Samuel and Kings, and we've just entered into Chronicles. One of the things that the people of Israel that would do when they would worship false gods were they would bow down and kiss these things. They would kiss the altar or kiss the idol itself in different things. And when I read that, it just flashed through my mind that Vince Lombardi trophy, everybody kisses it. The Big 12 championship, we kiss that thing. I get my Oscar, I get my Grammy, I get my Emmy. First thing I do is I kiss that thing. And we pour out adoration that was intended for God on these things here. That's what, when Scripture says, and you commit adultery with false gods. That's how we commit adultery with false gods, is we give the adoration, the worship that was intended for God, we give it to these objects or these awards or these positions in life. I said when this thing first broke out, one of the things that's going to change is we're not going to go to a $1 billion stadium to watch a 40-year-old man and pay him $40 million a year to play a little kid's game. That, to me, is one of the things that's going to change. I think it's going to change all the way through. But if you read the paper today, everybody's major concern is, when are we going to get back to sports? When does football start? When does basketball? When does the golfers get to go? And I think this is one of those, these are some of those idols that are being torn down. I think our entertainment system and the adoration we have for stars, for TV stars, movie stars. I think, huh?
Bar
are going to change. That all of that stuff is going to change, and so it's going to be redone. So my, like I say, I'm not fearful of the kind of fear that Satan puts out, but I am afraid that there is going to be unwise choices made by some of our leaders. They're torn in a very difficult place. They're being pulled multiple ways. And most of it's torn between the welfare of the people and the wealth of the people. Which is it going to be? Can we make money or can we be well? They see it as an either or. They don't understand how we can do both. And so as a result, the pressure from people who are afraid about provision are going to wear down the fear of protection. And you'll even... we'll come to a place where we'll say, well, it's worth, we can afford that this many people die if we make this $1 million. You know, we got to have our economy going. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've talked to Travis and Adam about this the other day a little bit. The thing that no one puts into this equation is that God our Father is the author of life and death. Nobody has died from COVID-19. We die for one reason, and that's because our spirit leaves our body and this body falls over dead. COVID-19 has a traumatic impact on our well-being and the circumstances of life. COVID-19 is much more of an economic impact to the world than it is a health impact. I mean, it is making people sick, health in the sense of dying, because God is the author of life and death. No one dies from COVID. People die because our days were numbered since the beginning of time. And when your day is up, your day is up. I promise you, a year from now, if we compare 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, the average number of deaths will be about the same. The cause will be different. Fewer heart attacks, fewer automobile accidents, fewer violent crimes. More COVID-19. They'll attribute the death to COVID-19, but the total number of deaths for the year will be about the same because it's always been, you know, it fluctuates a little bit, but not much. As some people are saying, we lose more people from the regular flu than we do this flu. So it's not about life or death, but it does have a huge impact on our condition of life. And that's why I say God's using it to get us to reprioritize our thing. But my encouragement to you, my encouragement to all of us, is that we pray for our leaders right now, that the Holy Spirit will give them wisdom, that they'll give them the wisdom of Solomon. You remember Solomon's prayer? Father, give me wisdom to rule for these people. How do I rule for all these people? So that they will be filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding as they make their decisions when people are trying to get them to choose between the welfare of people and the wealth of people. Because our tendency, the world's tendency, will be to run toward the money. Remember what it says? In the last day, men will become lovers of themselves and lovers of money. That thing will cause us to make unwise decisions, cause our leaders to make unwise decisions. The pressure of it will cause them to make unwise decisions. So let me encourage you to intercede with God concerning our leaders, whether they're believers or not, doesn't matter. Intercede with God on their behalf, asking Him to pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding on our leaders, so that they might act wisely as they make decisions on behalf of our nation. But for you, as the children of God, you have been given a spirit called the spirit of discernment, understanding. Discernment gives you understanding toward the circumstances. So with your spirit of discernment, use it as to govern your freedoms of what you can go and do. Just because the government says it's okay to go back to the bowling alley or out to the lake or whatever it is, don't you do it. My suggestion to you is, don't you do it until you test it with the Holy Spirit and make sure that the Holy Spirit has ordained you for that. Or is that one of the things, whatever the event is, that he's saying lay down? You don't need it. It's not of value in your life. Because I promise you, as we come out of this thing, there are going to be things that God's not going to want you to do that we did in the past. We're not going back to the good old days. We have a new normal coming before us. We're going to do things different. We're going to take care of, people different. The economy of the kingdom of God will be put on display, which will cause us to change how we interact with one another. And next week, we're going to get into that a little bit about the economy, how the economy of the kingdom of God is going to work. What does it mean? The Holy Spirit had me pray the other day, Father, your mercy, your characteristic of mercy, your mercy is the air we breathe, and your love is the fluid that runs through our heart, that's through our vein. That the love of God was what was flowing in our vein, and that his mercy was what we were breathing on, which basically defines that God sustains us. His characteristics sustain us. And we'll talk next week more and more about what that looks like when the rubber meets the road. How does that practically play out in the economy of the kingdom being put on display in the earth today by the people who are representing God? Okay? So, big thing is, be careful. We still have a few more weeks to go. But even when the world says you're free to go, remember that the Holy Spirit is your restraint, and only go where the Holy Spirit says you can go. In the words of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing, only say what I hear my Father saying. Make sure that we're doing the same thing in our events, that we're being restrained by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right.